Have you been considering taking your horse or Western photography passion to the next level? Hi, it's Kara with Cowgirls with Cameras, and I want to tell you about our Cottonwood Ranch Photography Experience in August. This experience is a workshop, portfolio builder, business clinic, and gathering set in the majestic scenery of the Nevada Mountains. This event is learning intensive and full of shooting opportunities that feature ranch work, Western horses, cowboys, cowgirls, horses, and dogs. You'll walk away feeling more confident in your camera editing and business skills, shoot a few thousand images, and gain new friends in the process. Our events are always focused on collaboration over competition, and our three instructors, myself, Kim Beer, and Phyllis Burchette, are all deeply passionate about seeing you reach your photography goals. To learn more about this event and other photography adventures we have coming up, head over to cowgirlswithcameras.com.
It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite Cowgirls with Cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cowgirls with Cameras. I'm Kim with Kim Beer Photography.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo.
And welcome to another great episode of our fun and definitely interesting podcast that we have created. Today's topic, after we have a little discussion and tell you what we've been up to, which is very exciting stuff for all of us, we're going to be talking about workshops, which is one of our favorite topics to discuss, because to be honest with you, it's something that all three of us share as a passion. And it's one of the big catalysts behind why we even started this endeavor in the first place. And it's something that we're concentrating a lot on. So we're going to be talking today about how, as a photographer, you can get the most out of your workshop experience, because workshops are expensive and they definitely will push you out of your comfort zone. And so we're going to give you some tips on how to make that experience even more beneficial. But first, let's get caught up on what's been going on in all three of our crazy lives. So I have been sick. 22 has been me not feeling well. So coughing, COVID, I'm definitely done with being sick.
You are due to be done with all of this. You really are.
We have missed you.
I am. I am definitely due. I am asking the universe and my body. I've missed you guys too. I've missed our time together, because there was a whole week I couldn't even talk. And can you imagine me not being able to talk? For those of
Never.
You out there who know me in person, you know how what a struggle that must have been for me.
No, you had laryngitis. So, you called and we were chatting and you were like a whisper. And you thought we were going to be able to record for the Business Animal podcast. And I just couldn't help but laugh at you, because that was not happening. There is no way.
I was ready to squeak my way through it. That's my commitment to podcasting. I was definitely ready.
And when I could finally hear you, you sounded like it was the most painful voice I've ever heard. So I was like, no one wants to hear that. No, I don't even want to hear it. I'm hanging up.
Oh, so I did. I had like 5 or 6 speaking engagements that week that I had to do. And I kept the first one, which was prior to the podcast recording, and when I still was delusional enough to think I was going to be able to squeak my way through that. And it was a Zoom session, thankfully, but it was only an hour. But the poor people that had to listen to me, every single one of them was like, you don't have to talk. You don't have to talk. We can do this. We can do this. And I'm like, okay, now I see the valid reason why everybody tells me I just need to cancel stuff. So I did something I have never done in my entire career, and that is cancel and reschedule speaking engagements. And you know what? I learned a valuable lesson, that people will wait.
And the world will go on, and it'll be just fine.
And it'll be just fine. And I can take time for me. Yeah. And I can take time for me. So that was a big lesson for me. So that's a lot of what I've been up to. Other than, I know the three of us have shared time with a fellow colleague named Natalie McFarland, who is a videographer, but we did it in very separate ways. So the way I worked with Natalie was I hired her to help with with a client of mine to film at her location in Colorado. That's Melissa with the certification program. She's launching a new program and needed videos done. And when she asked, I recommended Natalie, and I flew out to help with the process of getting things set up out there, which was great. And we had a couple of little snafus in our filming, and I have to say Natalie handled it beautifully. I truly enjoyed my time with her, and I loved watching her work, and you guys got to do something different. So what was your Natalie McFarland experience like?
Okay, so this is funny because we ended up working with Natalie, Phyllis and I, within like a week of you working with her, and that was totally random and unplanned. So that was pretty funny. So Phyllis and I decided that one of our goals for 2022 was to learn video and to really incorporate that more into the work that we do as photographers. So I had the opportunity to reach out to Natalie in a mentorship opportunity, and Phyllis and I decided to work together on that. And we had a good time, didn't we, Phyllis? It was like two super intense days, but it was awesome.
It was really full of a lot of intensive brain work. But yes, Natalie was a joy to work with. She's very, very knowledgeable, and I just really enjoyed her personally and professionally. I really enjoyed the three of us had a great time together. Yes,
we really did. So I set up a little mock shoot here in Florida at one of my friend's little farms, and I brought in another gal that has modeled for Phyllis and I before, who owns a little shop downtown here in St. Augustine, the Closet. And she came over just super cute dress, and we got to video her with one of Allie's Marin Full sets, and we just had a really good time. And Natalie really, I don't know, I feel like I learned a ton in 2 days, right? I mean, do you feel like that?
Oh gosh, yeah. Even though I had a malfunction with my laptop, and she graciously let me borrow her so that I was able to work, but it was a little bit more of a learning curve when I got home and then had to readjust everything on my own PC and laptop. But thankfully, we all used PCs, so that was nice. I'm really excited about getting to shoot more video and to edit more video. I just haven't really had a lot of time since I've been home to do much of that, but it's been great. I love it. You've really been using yours with your so many sessions you've had, incorporating little video clips into the sessions. I think that's really awesome.
Well, the biggest thing I wanted to do with what I learned with Natalie was I wanted to figure out a flow that worked for me at my portrait sessions so that I could do some video while shooting and then incorporate that into my viewing and ordering appointments, but also create some video content for reels and just for social sharing and that sort of thing. And I definitely feel like that piece of it I walked away with 100%. And then you and I got a chance to use some video, get some more video practice when we met at the Rock Point Ranch for our Cowgirls with Cameras Gypsy Vayner workshop that we had this last weekend, right?
Yeah, that was fun too. You skipped one. We went to the Yarborough Ranch before that.
Oh my gosh.
On our totally other, yes.
How could I forget that?
Like right after the morning after Natalie left, we went to the Yarborough Ranch. Big shout out to Lynn Hanshaw for that, for getting us the opportunity to come photograph them doing a little cattle work. And they had some, I think, first year heifers with their first calves and everything. So that was a treat getting to see them. Well, they have about 30, 35 head or pairs that they worked with. And of course, they do a little differently there. They mostly use dogs and bull whips. They rarely rope, but they use chutes to do all their doctoring in. They don't do any roping. So it was very cool seeing the different environment the cattle are living in. Lots more water down there, obviously. So it was neat.
It really was cool. I mean, we shoot out west all the time. So for me to get the opportunity living in Florida to finally get an opportunity to shoot on a Florida ranch was, I mean, it was, I don't know, definitely bucket list for me. And they were so kind to let us follow along with them for the day. We rode in the back of a pickup truck, which I hadn't done in a long time while shooting, but we got our pickup truck legs in us and got to follow along with the action, and it was really neat. I've barely had a chance to dig into those images, but I'm really excited about what we got to do out there.
Wait, I have a question. You were standing up in the pickup truck filming, like while they were moving?
Well, not a ton. It's not like what they do at Sombrero. We would holding on for dear life.
Oh, so you're not like...
They would stop, let us shoot. And then we'd hold on for dear life again as we went to the next place.
I had visions of the two of you like braced in the back of a pickup truck with your, and I know Natalie teaches like handheld videography. I have this vision of you two trying to do steady shots in the back of a pickup as it's bouncing over Florida swamp.
I think we did try once or twice.
Yeah.
That didn't come out very well. No. But you got to give us kudos for trying.
I do. But the visual there was just more than I could like let go. I had to definitely know what that picture looked. And having experienced all of us having experienced Sombrero Ranch, which you, if you haven't, they dunk you in this back of this pickup with like two bales of hay wrapped in a tarp. And then they go. I mean, you are clutching. And it's like, I don't know, five photographers jammed in the back of this pickup with, I don't know, random $150,000 worth of camera gear bouncing around down a highway. And it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. But now I have this new vision of you and Phyllis in a truck in a swamp. And like, I don't know, were you dodging alligators or anything?
No alligators, but I cannot wait to go back to Sombrero to the Great American Horse Drive in May. I am going. I'm so excited.
You lucky dog.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I am
so
jealous.
I'll be in that pickup truck hanging on for dear life.
Just don't bounce out.
I'm jealous.
I didn't mean to get off track. You were talking about Rock Point Ranch, Kara, but I just didn't want you to forget that we had been to Yarborough Ranch first before Rock Point.
No, I'm glad you did. And I'm glad you did. But then a week later, you and I were back together again, heading to the Rock Point Ranch over in Floral Springs, Florida, where we met up with, how many photographers did we end up having? There were five, I think, for that event, right?
Well, we had 10 signed up and we had some pretty bad weather coming in. So we gave the whole group the chance to either get a credit, have their money back, or still come. So five of them decided to still come. And we're so thankful and blessed that they did, because we had a great group and we had a fabulous weekend. We ended up making a 1 day shoot work into 3 days. Yeah, Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, and again Sunday morning, which we had beautiful, beautiful light Sunday morning, but we got it all done. And we're really thankful to Nancy at the ranch for adjusting her schedule and working with us to get all that done.
And she's got just some of the prettiest Gypsy Vayner horses, and her stallion Toffee is so gorgeous and just puts on such a nice show.
I love him.
We had a really good time. And I think that one of the things I'm most grateful for about that event, in addition to Nancy being so flexible and cleaning her horses up and dodging the weather, but is that the photographers that we had there were just so good natured about the weather and willing to be flexible and just kind of go with the flow, which to me kind of feels like, that's kind of part of what we're talking about today in terms of workshops. I mean, they were so willing and it paid off. I mean, they got great images. The stuff I'm seeing coming out of it is just, I'm just super excited for them and myself. I really can't wait to look at my own pictures.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, it rained all day long here yesterday. So that's what I did, is I worked on a few images so that I could get my newsletter done and a blog post about Rock Point. So that was my goal, was to get that done yesterday, which thanks to the crappy weather here, I was able to stay inside all day.
So Phyllis, didn't you have something special coming up with another podcast?
Yes, I'm a guest on a podcast called Photographing the West with Kirby Flanagan. I'll be with him Thursday. We'll be recording. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be all about horse photography, and I'll probably talk some about wild horse photography since it's Photographing the West and ranch photography, wild horses. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to having that chat with Kirby. It got put off some because he was pretty sick as well. And so it was delayed. This podcast recording was delayed. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with Kirby Thursday.
You're just getting to be the podcast queen.
She really is making her rounds.
And when I get back from Minnesota, which we didn't talk about that, we're all going to be joining up together in Minnesota next week, I'm going to be on Cheyenne's podcast. So that'll be fun too.
Go ahead and give the name of Cheyenne's podcast too, so folks can find it.
Oh, it's Cheyenne Glade Wilson. It's the Native Cowgirl. Yep. So everybody be listening for Photographing the West and the Native Cowgirl podcast.
I mean, after they get done listening to Cowgirls with Cameras,
right?
They can run over there.
And the Business Animal. You got to listen to the Business
and the Business
Animal too.
Yes.
And the Business Animal. And to give you a plug for that, so Kara and Phyllis had that session with Natalie. One of the things that Kara and I did is we took a look at up-leveling your skills on the Business Animal podcast. So if that sort of thing interests you, you could head over there and listen to that. So shameless plug for our other podcasts to talk about.
I love every episode of y'all's podcast.
Thank you, Phyllis.
I do. It's really cool because even though I know you both personally, you're both so knowledgeable, or you sound that way on your podcast anyway.
We try.
So I have seen more than my fair share of Phyllis, I think, in the last couple of weeks. And I'm getting ready to see her again next week. But
I'm jealous.
I know, but you'll see us next week. But I will say that it seems like I've been running all over the place. But the other big thing that I've been working on is it is officially senior portrait season. And it is insane. And so one of the things that I have done when I've not been running around shooting with Phyllis and doing our events, I have been photographing equestrian seniors nonstop. And I really am looking forward to having a few days to do nothing but edit, because that's what's on the radar for the next couple of days. So I don't know. I'm assuming there's probably a bunch of other photographers out there right now that are feeling the heat of the senior portrait season as well. So that's probably been the big thing that's been on my mind when I've not been shooting.
Your senior portrait season either kicks off early or kicks off late, because ours here is usually like in the summertime. Of course, we are in Missouri and it's a little bit ugly to do senior portraits outside right now.
Yeah, it's too hot here in the summer. So we do spring and fall.
I just also wanted to mention one other thing that I was up to was I went to an intensive training for my Gestalt practice that is going to be hugely beneficial to retreat participants at our upcoming retreats and workshops. I'm learning a lot about how to help people get out of their own way with their creativity and also with blocks that keep them from being successful in business as well as in life with their photography. So I'm super pumped about the training that I just had. It was a really intense, wonderful training, and I was actually healthy for that 1 week. So it was a boon to be not feeling bad and getting good training. So that was one thing that I did additional to being sick. Phyllis, I understand you've done some bird photography.
Oh, well, when I went down to meet with Natalie and Kara, I actually spent a day with Nancy Elwood, who is a big bird photographer, because she's a big Nikon shooter as well. And I had my new Nikon Z9 that I wanted a little bit more in-depth learning with. So we shot for the day together, and I had never met Nancy. I've known her for years through social media, but we clicked and had a great day and went out for margaritas afterward and just had a really nice day. I didn't get anything earth-shatteringly great, but it was cool to spend the time and practice with my camera and learn a lot of the settings and learn more about the autofocus system on the Nikon Z9, because that's one thing. It has so many bells and whistles. It was between that and the videography that weekend, my brain was definitely on overload. So, you know, it's good for me to challenge this old brain, as you girls remind me, and to try to keep it thinking and going forward. So yeah, I enjoyed it. And also, talking about the Gestalt, you set me up with your friend Evie Rose. And I'm excited every time I hear you guys having a podcast episode or talking about the Gestalt. You know, I'm excited to have my session with her. Unfortunately, it got canceled from June till now. It's pushed back till September. But I'm excited about doing that. So I think anybody that wants to look into the Gestalt, and as Kim keeps talking about it, I think it's might be a really beneficial thing to help your game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mindset and mindfulness and all of those things really play into your creativity, especially. And speaking of Evie Rose, that was another big thing in my life. Evie Rose came out here for a couple of days and helped me welcome 5 new herd members to my herd. One of our fellow Gestaltists passed away, and their horses came here to the ranch because they wanted, one of their wishes was that the horses remain a herd. And I'm one of the few places that had enough space to take all 5 at one time. One of them is 18 hands high. He is a big, big boy. So I have new interesting photographic subjects out in my pasture, which I am looking forward to getting out there as soon as the rain in Missouri goes away and having some fun photography sessions with them, because it's new fodder for my lens. Ladies, are we ready to move on to talking about workshops?
Yep, let's do it.
Kara's like, yes, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
So let's talk about when you decide you want to take a workshop. So if you're, it's your first time taking a workshop, I really want you to examine the workshops that are out there. There's a lot of great workshops with a lot of different photographers with a lot of different subjects. And it really pays to do your research before you choose the workshop that you want to go to. And my recommendation is that the very first thing that you do is to know what you want to accomplish with a workshop before you invest in one. So what is your goal? Is it to expand your portfolio? Is it to expand your knowledge? Is it to expand your skills? Is it just to meet up with other photographers and be able to have that camaraderie? I know for me, some of the workshops I go to are chosen just for that because I know the people who are going to be there and I want to have that time with other people who are photographers and just be able to share about our lives and about the things that we run into as photographers. Know what your goal is.
And sometimes it's just about getting access to a location or a subject matter, you know, that you can't necessarily access on your own, but you can access in a workshop setting. So I think that can be a big motivator as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And topic-based workshops like that. I know Phyllis goes to some bird workshops and works with wildlife workshops and that kind of thing. I know Phyllis is the workshop queen, actually. She's done a lot of them and a lot of different ones over a lot of different spaces. Used to be. Now you're into the hosting part of them. So just know what it is you want to do before you invest in that workshop. And then when you do know your goal, make sure you look over things to make sure that in the fine print, the workshop is going to meet your goal. Does it offer model releases? Like if you're wanting to build your portfolio or if you're wanting to shoot, let's say for fine art, and like Kara said, you now have access to that location that you wouldn't have access to otherwise. And then you get to the workshop and you can't, you know, take the photos and sell them. That becomes a difficulty for you. So do read the fine print. Look at how many shoot locations there are going to be. What's the number of photographers?
I've definitely made that mistake where I have just signed the contract and not looked at what was included or not included in the workshop materials. I've definitely made that mistake. And it really was disappointing to find that the goals that I had for the workshop that I couldn't use the images the way that I wanted to. And that was a big lesson learned for me. So that is such a good point. Always look at the paperwork that they're sending you. Read the fine print, those details, because you want to make sure that the workshop, the goals that you set, that you can accomplish the things that you hope to accomplish with those images and that there's not fine print telling you that you can't.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you have a question or you aren't sure, or if you have a very specific goal, like you intend to sell the images after the workshop, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling or emailing or setting up an appointment with the people running the workshop and talking with them for a couple of reasons. One, do you jive? I mean, when you have a discussion with them, do you find that they're a person that you want to work with? And then also ask those questions and be very realistic about what you intend to do with the images or what your expectations are of the workshop, because workshops are expensive. I mean, it's not just the cost of the workshop. Many times you want to rent equipment that you're going to experiment with or that you don't typically have in your bag. You're going to invest money in that. You're going to invest money in travel. You're going to invest money in not being either at your business or your job. So it's a big investment to come to a workshop, and it's always a good idea to really cross the T's and dot the I's and know that you're going to be able to get and accomplish the goal that you set out to. Because if you do accomplish that goal, it's worth every single penny. But if you get a roadblock, it's frustration for you. And I've talked to, and I'm sure you guys have as well, talked to a lot of photographers that have come to workshops with a certain goal in mind and found that they couldn't accomplish that goal. Anything else you guys can think of in choosing a workshop that you would give advice around in just that piece of things?
I love hosting workshops because I think I learn a lot from the participants. And I think the participants should always go to a workshop with an open mind, because everybody that's attending that workshop is going to bring something a little different to the table. And you'll learn something from others and others will learn something from you. I think that's part of it. I think that's what makes the fellowship and the camaraderie. And you've all got a shared passion, not only of photography, but whatever the subject matter is. In our case, it would be horses, of course. But I think that's what makes this so much fun, is gaining knowledge from each other too, and keeping an open mind. And also, I have to say too, that my experience is that it's hard to help people when you don't know what they really need. So I think it's really important to let your leader know your questions or concerns, or so that they can be sure to help you and address those and give guidance wherever it's needed. And if you do have something, like you said, Kim, I think in particular to get in touch with the leader or whoever's running the workshop and with your questions or concerns beforehand, and let them know what you would like to work on, and so that they can adjust for that in the schedule, maybe, if possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but I think that's really helpful to have communication with your leader and talk to them and let them know what you expect out of the workshop.
And if you can have that conversation in advance in a way where you're talking about like kind of your level of photography as well, like if you're a brand new photographer attending a workshop where there's not a lot of support from the leaders of the workshop, it might lessen your chances of walking away with great images. So I think spending some time having conversations with the workshop leaders about kind of where you are in your photography, your experience level, can be really huge too, so that they can let you know, yep, absolutely, we can provide a supportive environment to help move you forward, or this really isn't a great workshop for you because there's not going to be a lot of opportunity to, you know, kind of handhold through that process. So that can be huge.
That's what I really love about the model for our Cottonwood Ranch experience is being able to have those onboarding calls with potential clients beforehand, so that they can see if they think we're going to be a fit for them more than are they going to be a fit for us. I think, you know, just to see if we mesh together and if they want to spend more time with us and that kind of thing. I think it's really helpful on both sides, on both ends, for us to know what the client wants, and for the client to know if they can, you know, are even going to be able to mesh with us, and if it's people that they want to spend more time with.
Absolutely. And you have to be careful. So some of you, I didn't have this experience in photography, but I did have it in writing. Sometimes we watch or follow a photographer for many, many years, and then they offer a workshop or a mentor or somebody who's a leader. And then we get there and it ends up being this huge letdown. You know, your mentors are humans too. And for me, I did that with a writing workshop. I'd followed a writer for many, many years. I absolutely loved her work. I got to the workshop and my expectations were so super high over her that I didn't have a good workshop because she wasn't exactly who I didn't allow her to be human in my brain. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, have some grace on your end in that communication. I think it's a good pre-communication because it does set you up for the realism of meeting your mentors, of meeting the people that you follow, and being able to see them as human, because workshops will definitely sometimes bring out the human in all of us.
I think, like Kara said earlier, having on both ends is having a great amount of flexibility is really helpful on the participants and on the leader's end, is being flexible. So
absolutely. So now let's say you've chosen your workshop, you've communicated with the workshop leader, you know this is right for you, you're excited about it, and workshop dates are approaching. So there are some things that you need to do ahead of time before attending a workshop. So for example, our workshops in particular are held in places that don't tend to have the best internet on the planet. So you can't depend on the fact that you will have access to something that is fast enough to be able to do your updates, or, you know, if you want to try a particular application and you want to download it at the event, sometimes that's not possible. So it's really important that you really do a good checklist ahead of time. Get your software updated. Whatever you use for editing or want to use for editing on this particular trip, if you're trying something new, make sure you have it downloaded. Make sure your subscriptions are paid for. Make sure that it's the latest version of that. Make sure any other apps that you need are on your computer. Make sure that they're available for you and that you really do have the latest, greatest of everything. And then also think about what's in your gear bag. Talk over or look over the places or locations you're going to be shooting. Ask questions about what camera gear the leaders suggest you bring, what lenses, what level of camera equipment they would recommend. And then if you need to rent something, you can rent it. And then when you go to pack, you definitely want to quadruple check everything in your bag. Make sure you have your cards, make sure you have your chargers, make sure you have your batteries, a lot of things that you need to have as a checklist. Do either of you ladies, I fly by the seat of my pants, and I'm pretty sure Phyllis does too, but it would not surprise me at all if Kira didn't have a written checklist of what goes in her bag.
No, I absolutely do not have a checklist. I'm not that organized. I'm pretty organized, but I do not have a checklist.
There is one thing I would like to add about your gear bag is, I know what this is tough for some people, but bringing two cameras is a big thing. If you have a malfunction on one of your cameras and you've paid all this money to go to a workshop and you don't have a backup camera, then you're SOL. I mean, that's a big one to me, is to have a backup camera. Bring two camera bodies with you.
Absolutely. I'm currently working with a rental system because one of my cameras started malfunctioning before we went to the Gypsy Vayner workshop this weekend. And I ended up renting a second camera so that just in case there were issues, I had something to shoot with at the workshop. And, you know, you come out of pocket with it, but it's definitely worth it to make sure that your gear is there and set up and ready to go. And, you know, a lot of us, when we're home working, we might be working on a desktop. And then when we're traveling, we're working on a laptop. And I have definitely been the one that hasn't spent my time updating all my programs, writing my passwords down or having them someplace where I can find them if I need them, importing brushes and presets if you use those sorts of things. I'm definitely guilty of that sometimes. So the more that you can do to prep and have all that ready to go, the more successful and less stressed and the faster you'll be able to get down to the business of enjoying your images and creating instead of just playing catch up when you get to a place where you can get started. And the people running the workshop will appreciate that too, because then they're able to kind of move everyone along and bring, you know, the education piece to it if that's part of your event.
Yes, all good advice. Don't get to the workshop like I did with Natalie and then figure out that my laptop is not going to work Premiere Pro.
We're all guilty of it at some point, Phyllis.
Yes, we are.
We've all been there. And I think the biggest thing is to show up with an open mind. You know, be ready to try something different. I always try to go into a workshop with the idea that this is my chance to create something different, to try something that I've always wanted to try, pull out my inspiration list of images that I'd like to try to create. This is an opportunity a lot of times to do that, because you can't always test out that stuff when you're in a situation where you're having to create paid work for clients. But this is the chance sometimes where we can play and we can do some of that stuff and we can brainstorm with the other photographers that are there to get input on ideas. And that is definitely one of the coolest parts of attending workshops. And if you can come with some of that kind of ready in your mind in that place, I think you'll be off to a better start. I know all three of us have been at workshops where we have kind of like lull days where our brains, our creativity kind of feels diminished and we're having to work really hard to be creative. So having that little like list of ideas in your pocket, a lot of times for me, will jumpstart me into a creative space so that I can get a lot more out of the workshop. Do you guys feel that way sometimes? I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Definitely. Yes. I'm already thinking about different things we can do at Dryhead and Cottonwood and that kind of thing. And it's great. I think it's good also to even just look at Pinterest and look at the webs, you know, other people's feeds, and just see different things that you might want to try. Or, you know, I think it's funny how I've always loved shooting wide and long, you know, and up close. I mean, I love the details, but I love a sense of the environment too. And I think it's funny how people come and they'll go, oh, I never use a wide angle lens, and then they try it one time and then they're hooked, you know. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure. I don't know. I feel like I remember my very first workshop experience was with the Equine Photographers Network over at Powderhorn. That was one of my first, probably not my first, but one of my first. And I remember coming with like this kind of preconceived notion about what I was going to try to capture while I was there. And because I was willing to just kind of relax and look around me and see what other people were doing and strike up conversations with the other participants about about? What are you shooting and why are you shooting it that way? And tell me your thoughts behind that. That I feel like I got so much more out of that experience and was able to come back with stuff that I probably would have never imagined I could create on my own. And that to me, I mean, I know for Fast Horse, attending that first workshop with Equine Photographers Network at Powderhorn propelled my business and the exposure to my local community so much further, because I was now creating something that I don't want to say it was worth looking at, but it was something that got my community excited too, because I wasn't able to do that necessarily by myself because my skill level wasn't there yet. But after attending that, it made a big difference.
Yeah, your skill level jumped up by a ton just from going to that one event. And I think what's great too is, thanks to Aaron, our motto is one more time. So what's great is that, you know, even though you may shoot something and think, oh, I didn't get it the way I wanted, well, we'll just have them do it one more time, you know? So that's really great that we can, a good thing about a workshop versus having a client shoot is that you can shoot it over again. It may not be exactly the same great action as it was the first time, or the same great moment.
Right. Or it might be better.
But yeah, but you get the opportunity to shoot it one more time. And you can try one time with a long lens. You can try one time with a wide angle lens. So that's what's great too. Or you could video one of the runs, you know, that kind of thing. So that you've got different options.
Which you and I are going to be doing
Yes.
so much more.
I'm so excited about video.
I haven't even had a chance to look at my Gypsy Vayner videos yet, and I can't wait. Okay, so the last thing I would say to consider is be prepared for the weather. I'm a big one. I can't stand being cold. So be sure that you bring your weather, you know, anything that's appropriate for the conditions. If it's going to be rain, bring your rain gear. Just really be thinking about that weather. Now, Phyllis, one of the things that you have done recently is you've written some stuff around the different types of events that people might attend. Can you briefly mention that before we wrap this up today?
Yes, I do have this description to clarify for people on my website, but it's basically the difference between workshops, retreats, and tours, because I host all three. But the workshops are going to have a little bit more structured atmosphere. It's going to be more learning, more of the technical and the creative side for you to develop, help to develop your style. The retreats for some people is going to vary a little bit, but I think what both a workshop and a retreat do have in common is, or even the tour, is that they get you away from your daily routine so that you can bring a whole new perspective to and energy back in your everyday life to your photography. When you get back home, it's going to really help you think about things in a different way. The only tour that I host is my Iceland tour, and it is all about getting the clients to a place that they would not otherwise be able to experience without the organized event. It's a lot more casual. Well, I say casual, although we're pretty much on the go in Iceland, but we do stay at a horse farm, so it's more focused on a destination with a great amount of photography included, and getting to see some place that you would not normally, or getting to see things like horses running in front of waterfalls and just different things that you would not be able to see otherwise. When we do the tour in Iceland, we also get to do day trips where we explore more of the island. It's just a chance to connect when you do tours, I think it's a chance to connect with another world and use photography as a means to explore that world.
Yeah, I think you're dead on with that. I think the only thing I would add to that is workshops tends to be a word that is kind of thrown around a lot. So it's kind of used as a catch-all for photography events. So I would definitely, you know, when someone creates an event and they put it out as a workshop, I would definitely be very clear about how they define what a workshop is. So it could be more like a meetup or a photography tour. So that would be the only thing I would add to that. So I think that's a really good kind of takeaway for people. And can you tell them, Phyllis, real quick, where they can find your write-up on that for more details?
It's on my website. If you just click on workshops and tours, it will be at the very top, and it'll take you to another link where it will go to that page and give you the descriptions of all three.
Okay, PhyllisBurchettePhoto.net.
PhyllisBurchettePhoto.net.
So now is the time for our CWC photo challenge of this particular episode. And what I want to do is ask you to get outside your comfort zone. So all workshops, in my opinion, and retreats, those things are an opportunity, like Kira mentioned, for us to get outside our comfort zone, to try something different, try something new. So what I want to challenge you to do is to create your own little mini workshop experience all by yourself. Try something different, a new camera, a new shooting technique, a new editing technique. But pick something up that is maybe pushing your boundaries a little bit, or where you feel like maybe that's a little bit outside of what you would normally do, and give it a try. And, you know, share your results with us on Instagram. Use the hashtag CWC Photo Challenge. And we will see you next time on the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.